I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we'll talk about a new study with surprising information about the nation's leading cause of bankruptcy. No, it is not credit cards. It's medical costs, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But first, we want to talk about the case of the two American journalists who've been detained in North Korea for more than 3 months. Earlier this week, Laura Ling and Yuna Lee, who are working for Current TV when they were arrested along the border between North Korea and China, were sentenced to 12 years of hard labor in a trial that was closed to observers. Their case has drawn worldwide attention, and their families are deeply concerned about their welfare. Recently, Ian Clayton, Laura Ling's husband, appeared on CNN's Larry King and read a letter that he received from her.
While I am trying to remain hopeful, each day becomes harder and harder to bear. I am so lonely and scared, but baby, thinking of you gives me strength. You know I can feel you here with me.
Many believe the journalists are being held as leverage as North Korea tries to avoid sanctions in response to its nuclear test 2 weeks ago. But while President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have urged North Korea to release the journalists on humanitarian grounds, the U.S. has no diplomatic relations with the North Korean government, making any sort of negotiations difficult at best. So we decided to call upon someone with a history of success in difficult international negotiations and in securing the release of Americans who've been imprisoned abroad. That is the Reverend Jesse Jackson. He joins us now from member station WBEZ in Chicago. Welcome, Reverend Jackson. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you. Just to remind those who may not remember, you've several times secured the release of individuals with whom the U.S. had hostile relations. There was the Navy flyer Robert Goodman in Syria in 1984. You were considered to have played a role in the release of U.S. hostages in Iraq in 1990, and you brought home those three U.S. service members held in the former Yugoslavia in 1999. How do you get involved in something like this? Do you offer yourself?
We did it in Cuba as well. You offer yourself, and you do so at some considerable risk, because you do it in support of your government's principles, but not for your government, because once it becomes government to government, then it becomes bothering and leveraging. So it's a kind of moral appeal on a humanitarian basis. Each time we brought Americans home from those prisons, whether Cuba, Yugoslavia, or Iraq, it was, I noticed four things. One, that there were strained relations between our government and that country. Two, there was always within those countries religious customs that we did not know and didn't have contact with. I've reached out to North Korea lately, because I know that there must be some penetration or capacity if one touches that base. Now, I have not met with the families yet. I would like to meet with the families. I don't know how to reach them. But I do know that religious customs are a factor. I know poverty is a factor, as well as, of course, our intelligence deficit about a given country. So I think that the third-party appeal at this point may have more of a impact even than the government at this stage.
There's some speculation that the U.S. might dispatch a former Vice President Al Gore, who founded Current TV and who employs these two women, as a citizen diplomat in that sense. But do you think that would have any benefit?
Well, it could if he has the moral appeal to them and they can trust him, with this former Vice President Al Gore, Governor Bill Richardson, or President Jimmy Carter. Those who made some way in reaching out could very well be a trusted broker between the two governments, but make the moral appeal. These two young women have done nothing to earn being imprisoned for 12 years. They are, at this point, a pawn in a bigger political game. The case I would make if I were to go to North Korea to the leadership is that holding these young women as hostages or trophies does not get what you need. You need to have your security increased, that is to say, the relief of such abounding poverty in your zone, and to have less military threats headed toward you. And, you know, but talking that way, that's why I think that any kind of bellicose rhetoric and threats right through here does not serve our country well in that region, nor does it serve our quest to secure their freedom.
You pointed out, though, that in previous cases where you've been able to be helpful, that there were religious or moral leaders with whom you were able to connect. This government is perceived as extremely hostile to religion, in essence, that the leader of the country has created himself, in essence, sort of as a religious leader, has made him kind of the – there's a, clearly a cult of personality around the leader, and there's also a succession of fight going on. So given that, do you feel that there are any pathways in?
That was the cult of personality around Saddam Hussein, and yet we still made the appeal. I would assure you there are some basic religious customs in that country, and those leaders must never be underestimated as having an impact upon the daily operations of the country. All I know is that now, because I join others in their concern, as I reach out to people that, with whom we have some contact in North Korea, to appeal them, please, please let them go. And I hope to meet with the families as soon as I possibly can and see if we can work closely with others who may very well have some ability to have their voices heard in North Korea, who are not perceived as hostile. And if we can overcome the fear and the hostility, we could very well pave a road.
Are you planning to go yourself? Forgive me. Are you just planning to go and offer yourself in that role? Are you just planning to go to North Korea and see if you will be accepted in that way?
Well, I'm willing to go. I would not go without some assurances. I would not go without touching base with our own government that they might at least know that our mission is not at cross purposes with our national interest, which is the relief of the nuclear threat that's rising in that country. But I would touch base with our own government, but I would really try to make an appeal to that government as we've begun to reach out and urge them on moral and humanitarian grounds, not on political grounds, not on a threatening basis, but on moral, humanitarian basis, please let them go.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the case of two American journalists who've been sentenced to 12 years of hard labor in North Korea. I'm speaking with the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who on several occasions in the past has successfully negotiated the release of Americans imprisoned abroad. During the last major conflict between Hezbollah and Israel in 2006, you did attempt to be helpful there. You attempted to negotiate the release of people on both sides who were being held by either side. Particularly, there were two Israeli reservists who'd been held and not heard from at all. And you were not able to be successful in that case, even in giving assurances to the family about their well-being. That was one of the sticking points, is that they just wanted to know the health status of these prisoners. Why do you think you were not able to be successful in that case?
We met with Assad in Syria. We met with leadership in Lebanon. We met with Hezbollah leadership in Lebanon. We got to Israel. There was a lot of kickback. I think our own government interfered in the process. I think we were actually making some progress. But of course, the situation between Israel and Lebanon, just having come out of that war, was of such until we just couldn't get traction. But we certainly tried, and we will keep trying, because every time prisoners are released in that way, it always opens some window for dialogue that could be a breakthrough. It's like, as simple as it seems, the Chinese ping pong, you know, team was a big diplomatic breakthrough. I shall never forget, we brought Lieutenant Goodman back from Syria, and President Reagan said that I shouldn't go because I would not be successful. But if I was successful, to bring him back to the White House, which we accepted that deal. When I got to the White House, he said, "Well, Reverend Jackson, what can we do now that you brought him back?" I say, "Call Assad and say thank you. Do that." And he did call him, and he did say thank you. And they began to talk, and they never stopped talking. So these, sometimes you break this cycle of diplomatic fear, and things can happen. I've seen it happen.
And what about in North Korea? Again, I know each of these situations is different, but North Korea is seen, at least in this part of the world, as being particularly defensive, particularly closed, a particularly closed society, and being particularly even indifferent to the suffering of its own citizens. So it's hard to see how they would be open to appeals.
Well, it's very different. You know, we lost 37,000 Americans in that fight in the North-South Korean conflict back in the 50s. We've had the presence of military troops there for 55 years, like 28,000 are still there. And, of course, there is the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea, but there are more talks between North and South Korea now than they have ever been before. But being to the north and with the weapons they do have, if a war were to break out, it could be devastating to South Korea. So our interest, whether South Korea, Japan, China, we all have an interest in using some kind of collective diplomatic efforts to to appeal to them, aid to release the two young journalists, but then move on to the bigger question of reducing the nuclear threat and tension. But there's such abounding poverty in North Korea. So many people are simply dying, and that's why that regime has to be in some way softened up. And maybe the U.S. cannot do it unilaterally, probably can't. But our allies in China and Japan and in that region must become a part of a partnership to reduce the tension there.
What finally, we only have about a minute and a half left, Reverend Jackson. I remember when you went to the former Yugoslavia and you spoke with the then leader Slobodan Milosevic, and I remember that you prayed with him at one point. And were you surprised that you were able to connect with him on that level? And if you had the opportunity to connect with the leaders of North Korea, do you think that they would be receptive to that kind of connection on that level as well?
I would never cease to pray because it does matter. I was in a session with Milosevic and his key people and our key people, and in that session he was rather defensive, and I could see our arguments were not penetrating. So I said, may I have a private meeting with you one-on-one? And his people, you know, jumped as to say no. He said yes, and we met privately. And I laid out to him, I said, you know, keeping these three soldiers here will only be a magnet for more, you know, war to come this way. And if your issue is reconciliation with the forces that you're in conflict with, I mean, like, let them go. It would be of value to let them go. And as we were talking, of course, bombs are dropping. We had just bombed a bridge the night before with an ambulance on it. A lot of people had been killed, so tensions were very high. And then we joined hands and prayed. And I asked God to intervene to help. And I give God much credit for the intervention because I was simply doing the best I could do. And when you do your best, it's not enough. You stand and make an appeal to God for intervention.
Well, thank you. This is civil rights activist, the former presidential candidate, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who has previously successfully negotiated the release of previously imprisoned Americans. He joined us from Chicago. Reverend Jackson, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.